Well, we are in a series called Oh, What a Beautiful Morning, Making Every Day a Great Day. And we're looking at what Jesus teaches in the Beatitudes about how to be blessed, how to be happy. And last week we heard one that was a little bit confusing. It said, blessed are the poor, blessed are the poor in spirit. That was kind of a hard one to wrap our heads around. But this week it's a pretty easy one. We're looking at the sixth verse of chapter 5 of Matthew's gospel. And the chapter starts out, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. And his disciples came to him, and he began to teach. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That's a lot easier, isn't it, than blessed are the poor? Because we do hunger and thirst for righteousness, don't we? We want things to be right. We want things to be the way that God intends in the world. We want a planet treated as God's special gift. We want children who are safe and the hungry fed, opportunities for all. We want all persons to find the love of God in Jesus Christ and to follow in his footsteps. From the environment to evangelism, we want a world where things are right. And we're willing to work for it. We're willing to work to save the world. And Jesus says, if we do that, we'll be blessed. We can have a great day. But sometimes it can have the opposite effect. Sometimes in our desire to save the world, we can be led into despair. For example, in creation care, it is a wonderful thing to try to take care of our world. We're going out this afternoon. We're going to clean up a part of God's creation along the highway. And that's a fulfilling thing. And the annual conference has found a donor who's willing to underwrite the upfront costs of solar power systems for 25 churches in the conference. And we've asked to be considered. I don't know if we'll get it or not. But how great to be able to do something for our environment and also to save on our electrical bill. Caring for creation is a very fulfilling thing, but sometimes wanting to do right by God's creation also has a dark side. It's called climate anxiety or eco-anxiety. I've been doing a bit of reading on a number of young people who are so distraught at what they see as the future of the world. They're so worried about our climate that they have pledged not to have any children. They just can't bear the thought of bringing a child into a world as bleak as they imagine it. And it's quite a movement. There's even an organization called Birth Strike. And I just want to read from about what one woman wrote in relation to this. She says, thinking about the end of the earth is lonely. It's even lonelier when you start to talk about not having children. There have been many nights when I've sat up well past midnight, scrolling through Birth Strike's Tumblr, reading post after post. I do it for the company, to remind myself I'm not alone, and yet when I'm done, I still feel lonely. People are so terrified about the world that they're pledging not to have children, and some people take it even further. Dr. Carolyn Hickman of the Climate Psychology Alliance, there's actually one, she says she's treated a number of parents who have come to her fantasizing about killing their children out of fear of the climate-ravaged future and that they will live in. If you can imagine, They want what's right for the world, but they're so wrapped up in fear and anxiety that they're even thinking about killing their kids. So how do you deal with that? What do you do when your hunger and thirst for what's right leads you not into a great day, but into overwhelming anxiety? Well, I think the first thing you do is to remember whose world this is. God wants a healthy planet more than you do. It's His. He created it. God wants even more than you do. So remember whose world this is. And for a great way to start is just to get out into it. Go take a walk in the woods. Drive down to Spring Lake Park. How many of you have been to Spring Lake Park? Almost everybody, right? I mean, what a gift to be able to look out over the river. Any time of year, it's gorgeous. Go do that. Or just go in your backyard and just look up. You can look up during the day and see the clouds. You can look up at night and see the stars. But just get out there in God's creation. Because when you do that, the anxiety level goes down. No matter how much you're hungering and thirsting to be a part of helping to save the world, just being out in it will help your mental health. The Japanese have a word for it, shinrin-yoku. Shinrin-yoku means literally forest bathing. That's what they call the act of just simply getting outdoors, because they found that if you just go out for half an hour, probably for 5 minutes, and just get out in God's creation, it's going to have an impact, a positive impact on your life. There was a time when the demands of being a pastor and raising kids and health problems and all of that got to be huge. So I knew I needed to take some time away. So I took a renewal leave, it's called. Not a vacation where you run off to Disney World and you stand in lines forever and you come back exhausted. But a purposeful time away for renewal, to renew the spirit. But unfortunately, I did the same stuff or had kept the same kind of crazy schedule as I did when I wasn't on renewal leave. So I ran off to Duke Divinity School to take some classes there, and I tried to take in every worship experience that I could, because pastors are always preaching on Sundays, so we don't get to, you know, to get into all the other churches. And so I was running around doing that, and then I was feverishly trying to fix up my father-in-law's pioneer cabin that I talked about a few weeks ago. Not my one log cabin, but my father-in-law's one. And I was doing all of that and realized I wasn't renewing at all, until one day I just took a folding chair out into the meadow in front of the cabin and sat down to watch the sunset. And I don't mean the normal thing that we do is go, oh, isn't that a gorgeous sunset? And we look at it for 5 seconds and then we're on our way. But from start to finish, from blue sky to the first strips of color to the gorgeous sunset, and then the final thin line of orange on the horizon, and then that deep blue and the stars coming and the geese flying over, and you can't see them in the darkness, but you hear their voice. And I experienced a greater connection to God and more renewal of my spirit in that one night than in the entire renewal leave, because I simply got out in creation. I said, thank you, God. Thank you for allowing me to experience this. So one way to deal with the anxiety when we're worked up about wanting to do what's right, simply remember whose world this is. That it's God's world, and God wants it to be right even more than we do. It is a great gift. So go out and enjoy it. Spend a little time, maybe even today, doing that. St. Ignatius is said to have come up with a quote that I always appreciated. And it talks about how we work for the things of God. And the quote that I learned it was this way. Pray as if everything depended on God, and work as if everything depended on you. And I thought, well, that's a pretty neat quote, and I've remembered it for a long time. Pray as if everything depended on God. But work, work as if God isn't even there. And then I actually did some research on it and found out that St. Ignatius didn't say it that way. He said it the other way around. He said, pray as if everything depended on you. In other words, pray as if you were the only prayer in the world. And if you didn't pray, then no one would be praying. So pray as if everything depended on you, but work as if everything depended on God, because it does. We participate with God. We are about God's work, but God ultimately is in control. God ultimately has this. And our work takes the pressure off our work. We do the best we can, but we know that God has this, that God is our help. It's not up to us alone. Psalm 124, verse 8 says, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord. It's not all dependent on us. I know we want to save the world in so many different ways, but knowing that it's God's world is both our motivation and our hope. So work for what's right. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. And remember whose world it is and go enjoy it. Now, of course, there's so many other things that we're working at. There's so many other things that we want to be right and aren't. I mean, we look out in the world and the needs are endless. There's needs for food for the hungry and for justice, and there's needs for education and economic opportunities. I mean, it's just endless. And sometimes it kind of puts a damper on our day. It's not a great day when we look out and we think, what can we do? It seems so futile. What are our efforts compared to the needs of the world? But I think we can get a little help, maybe by taking a lesson from a pig. In last Sunday's comics, there was a comic of Pearls Before Swine. And goat and pig are sitting on a bench and they're looking at their phones like we so often do. And of course, there's bad news. Ugh, this story is horrible. So pig gets up and he goes over to a big whiteboard that has the title, Badness in the World. And he puts another check mark. And of course, the board is half filled with all the bad things. I mean, we see them all the time on our phones. Then he goes and walks into the cities and he finds a homeless person and he helps out a homeless person. And then he comes back to the whiteboard and he writes goodness. And he puts one check mark for what he's done. And that's kind of, the left half is normally how we look at it, right? Here's all the bad things in the world, and here's the good things in the world, and we hunger and we thirst for the good, for what's right, and we want to give up and we despair. But then the pig says, I'll even this thing yet. That positivity, that think that no matter how much it seems like it's stacked against us, that we can have an impact, that our hunger and thirst for righteousness can have a positive impact. Galatians 6:9 tells us this. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't grow weary of doing good. I mean, it may look like the odds are stacked against us, but don't grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. On Wednesday, the youth group is going to feed my starving children in Eagan, and they're going to pack meals. Have many of you been to a Feed My Starving Children event? There's some hands out there. They put together these rice and protein meals, and they get shipped off all over the world to help those who are hungry. And usually on a night like that, at a packing night, you might be able to pack 4,000 or 5,000 meals. A couple of years ago, The annual conference did a packing event, but not at the site. They did it at annual conference. They called it a Million Meals Marathon, and the goal was to pack a million meals, which they did. We packed a million meals. And you would think, well, the work's done. We did a million meals. But you know, those million meals were gone probably before the month. And so we go back again. And we pack more meals. And we pack more meals. Because the need continues. And like Pig, we keep at it. We don't get discouraged. But we keep doing what God calls us to do. This Saturday at the event the Morning Mugs is putting on, we're going to have a speaker from Zoe Empowers. Zoe Empowers is one of the main missions that Resurrection Church supports. And it was started through the North Carolina Annual Conference back when the AIDS crisis first hit Africa. Zoe stands for Zimbabwe Orphans Enterprise. And people were rushing in to help these people who have lost their fathers and mothers to AIDS and were left all alone. And they provided shelter and they provided food, but folks began to realize that they needed more. They needed to have tools for success. They needed to be able to feed themselves and not just be dependent on what we could send over and whether we sent anything over. And so Zoe was started up, and they take groups of these orphans, and they have a 3-year plan to lead them from being beggars to business owners. And I just want to read to the way that it's described by an article by one of their leaders. He says, it's a paradigm shift away from the traditional way of doing things, in which people from afar decide for the children. We let the children make their own decisions. Of course, adults do help guide the children, whether it's social workers who oversee the working groups or the local business people who volunteer to help the children, but participants are encouraged to become self-sufficient quickly. These children do not have the luxury of time. They are desperate, hungry, beaten, raped, and enslaved. To have a modicum of control over their lives and well-being is nothing less than freedom from despair and oppression. You can come on Saturday and find out more about Zoe's work. Over 30,000 orphans have been helped through Zoe. But it seems like a drop in the bucket compared to the 17 million children who've been orphaned by AIDS in the last 30 years. And yet, we don't grow weary. Because each one of those kids matters. Each one of those kids is valuable. And if we can touch their lives and we can help those 30,000, then we can have a great day. It's like the story of the starfish. You've probably heard it. It's an old story. There, a number of starfish have been washed up on the beach, and when the sun came out, now they're baking in the sun and they're dying. And a person is walking the beach, and they see another person coming from the other direction, and she's reaching down, and she's picking up starfish, and she's tossing them back in to the water. And they meet, and the person says to her, there's millions of them out here. What you're doing doesn't matter. You can't make a difference. Can't even make a dent. And she reaches down, she picks up a starfish, and she tosses it in. She says, makes a difference to that one. Zoe and these ministries that we can be involved in, we may not be able to save the entire world, but we can save some people. We can make a difference. So don't grow weary in well-doing. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, and don't despair. Remember whose this world is. It's God's. And don't get discouraged. Now, a lot of us are involved in things that relate to saving the world in the big scale. But you know, sometimes the world that we want to save may be just the world of someone that we know and love. How many of us have someone in our life that we have been desperately hoping that they would be saved and know the love of Jesus Christ. You probably have somebody in your mind as soon as I mention that. Somebody who's been on your heart. Their life has been so much poorer for not knowing Christ, and your greatest desire is that they be saved. There is a man, John. I knew him through his sister Rose. Because Rose had relentlessly prayed for him for his entire life. John was in his 70s by the time I met him, and he had been running away from God for his entire life, and basically running to alcohol and anything he could. And he had gone through such pain. And anytime we gathered for prayer, whether it be worship or the Bible study, his sister Rose always prayed for him that he might know the Lord and be saved. And then one evening, after having too much again, he drove off an overpass. And he wrapped his car around the top of a very large tree. And he woke up sitting at the base of the tree, unharmed, looking up at his car 30 feet in the air. And he had what you might call a come to Jesus moment. And he gave his life to Christ. And he truly did. He came to church. He got involved in studying the scripture. And his life was transformed. And John might say that he is the happiest person in the world. But his sister would disagree. Because her prayers of 70 years had been answered. And her brother had come to the Lord and been saved. So it doesn't matter how you are working and hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Your day can be like Rose's day. Your day can be blessed. It can be a great day. So keep working. Keep working for what's right. And remember whose world this is and go enjoy it. Keep working for what's right and don't get discouraged, because each one matters. And keep working for what's right and never ever give up on anyone, because every soul matters. Each person matters to God, and so do you. So have a great day. Amen.